So as I had said during the children's sermon, that I was going to talk about getting outside of your comfort zone, my comfort zone. And I'm not talking about just mine. I'm going to say how, you know, we can impact others as a church or the community. But when I first thought of the word Samaritan, because that's a predominant person in the story who has helped, I think of the Good Samaritan Society and mission trips. Well, I don't know much about the Good Samaritan Society, so I'm not going to be giving you facts about how to help and get involved in this Good Samaritan Society, so that way the information is correct. But I do know a little bit about mission trips. Mission trips can get you extremely out of your comfort zone, especially if you're going outside of the state. But it doesn't mean that to be a good Samaritan or a good person, you have to leave the state or the community. Here's a video about how one person was going to try and get out of her comfort zone and decided not to.
Today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh, man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you, so let's get started.
Okay.
What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were going to take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want?
What?
$50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. You drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay. Okay. You know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
What are you doing? I am waiting for my car, fighting off a panic.
No, Kat. What? The problem is, you're too comfortable.
A little light reading. Some lovely calendar choices. Would rather glue.
Now, I don't know about you, but I can identify as Mary. You know, sitting in the same exact spot at church. In Beersford, my home church, my family as a whole will sit on the farthest right aisle of pews in the very last pew. Well, when we went back there this May, they added a tech booth and took out at least one pew. Well, that moves everybody forward a little bit. And I walk in and my first thought was, where's the pew? And what is that? Because that was so far out of my comfort zone. And let's sit in a different seat than normal, or what's going on? But your comfort zone is a good starting point, because you can start in the community and reach so many people. I've realized this through the Safeway cards that Pastor Scott had been handing out. They impact a lot of people, and a lot of different people come in. And so it was really interesting to see the need that is within our own town. Now, I'm going to talk about four different aspects of my life in the past 6 years that have required me to get outside of my comfort zone. When I went on a mission trip, when I moved to college, applying for the Elijah internship, and coming to Spearfish. Now, I'm going to let you guys know, I'm not a huge public speaker. You know, most people in my class that I would have to speak in front of were maybe 30 kids, and that was as a senior in college. But when I went on the mission trip in 2013, that was way out of my comfort zone. I'm used to sticking within the Sioux Falls area down to Sioux City and maybe over to Yankton. Now, going out of state isn't always an option for everybody, but when I went on that mission trip with my sister and a couple other people from the congregation, I was nervous. It's not that, you know, I was going out to help people. That was pretty straightforward. You're going on a mission trip, and you're going to go help people for that part. It was the meeting people. My sister, who we learned does not do turns very well, she will get sick, and if she's not driving, you're going to expect that cool air to be pretty much on high, even if it's winter. And so she had this easily ability to just talk to people and get to know the people who weren't in her group. But for me, I don't get car sick, so I just put my nose into a book or was talking to the person right next to me. I didn't really talk to anybody outside of who I already knew. And I guess on the way back, it was similar because I talked to those people who I worked in a mission group together with, but I really didn't go far beyond that. While I was becoming more comfortable with talking with people, I realized as much as I got out of my comfort zone, I still confined myself to myself. Now, two moments really remind me of this mission trip. We were patching up a cross space for an elderly couple in the community, and the bugs are huge. There was a spider probably about the size of a paper plate that I had seen. It was disgusting. But it wasn't the fact that, you know, we were dealing with insects that was the memorable part of that. It was the fact that after we had finished boarding up the crawl space, we were sitting on the bench waiting to get brought back to the settlement, and we realized that the picnic table that was at their house was really loose and wobbly. And so as a mission group, we had decided, oh, we'll try and just tighten this up. You know, you don't want people to fall off the bench or anything like that. And we had finished. So what would we do next, I guess? We still had a day worth of mission work that we were supposed to be doing. And so they were like, okay, we're going to put you with this group that's fencing. They're not as far along as we had hoped they would be by this time. And so there were two, maybe more, mission groups working on fencing in this piece of land. And had there not been that many more people added, they probably wouldn't have finished, which meant it would have probably gotten put off for a couple more weeks or a year, or when the next mission group came in. But my dad always joked, they went all the way to Kentucky for a mission trip, and yet I was in Pizza Ranch one day, and there was a group from another state coming here to work on the reservation. How ironic. Well, 2 years later, I had went to college. I only went roughly an hour and a half away from my hometown. Okay, that doesn't seem like a long ways in comparison to Spearfish, which is roughly 6 hours. But within a 30-minute to 45-minute radius of my hometown, there's three colleges and one tech school. So the options were really open on staying within that comfort zone. But it wasn't the fact that I had moved away that I was nervous. It was, am I going to fit in? Am I going to stay in my major? Well, I changed my major twice, and that was for the better. I ended up in Human Development and Family Studies from South Dakota State University, and we had to do an internship. Now, my advisor had told me, oh, they typically do it after your senior year of college. That way you have all the requirements for your major. I come to my first real major class that's not everybody in the college, and I find out that there's seniors who have already done their internship, and I was like, well, why didn't she tell me that? Well, I'm really glad that she didn't, because it opened up my knowledge base of what internships are really out there. I had a friend who applied up and down the east side of South Dakota for a Child Protective Services internship. There were none. But while I was at college, I met one of my best friends when I joined a sorority during my second year after I had first changed my major to a different one. And let me tell you, changing your major once is nerve-wracking, even when you know what you want to change it to. So then when I joined a sorority on top of that, I was just like, okay, I'm going to have to take a semester off of something to get through this year. But I didn't. And I had also been helping with the Brookings First Confirmation sponsorship. Well, that meant every Wednesday from 6:45 until 7:30. They wanted to hold these meetings at 6 o'clock, and they may not finish until 10 o'clock. So that was not going to be able to happen, for me at least. So that was a big, I don't know if I'm going to be able to join this sorority. Besides, you know, you watch all these movies about sororities, and they're all about hazing and not making things work. Well, they decided that they really wanted people to join, and so they made the option of having a Thursday learning session, so that way if you had class, or in my case, confirmation and college ministry going on, you were still able to learn the information. Well, after I changed my major a second time, when I didn't know what I was going to change it to, I had to meet with three or four different possibilities for your potential career or career path. And I didn't know who I was going to even ask to start out with. And so I asked a nonprofit leader in the Brookings Church and the pastor in the church. She had kind of said, you know, you should maybe think about applying for the candidacy process. Okay. That requires emailing your district superintendent, who, while I was working at the church camp, had briefly met. So that was a, whoa, I don't want to even think about that. Is there any way I can get around that comfort zone of, I'm not quite ready to apply for that yet? Well, I remember getting this email about this Elijah internship. I had no clue what it was about. But for the past 3 years, I had been receiving emails about applying. So I applied, which was already outside of my comfort zone, because I didn't think I wanted to be up and talking to people. I knew that I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how. So I applied in late February and heard a reply on March 18th that I got an internship and that it would be in Spearfish. The next day, Pastor Scott had emailed me saying, I'm really excited for you to come out here. That alleviated a lot of fear. But then, as May rolled around, you know, finishing up the last in-class credits, I realized I'm moving 6 hours away from my hometown, and 6 hours away from the town that I had kind of gotten to know as home. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking because I wasn't able to come out here just due to the time it would take out of the busy schedule that comes with schooling. And so I talked with Pastor Scott over the phone, and it alleviates nerves, but at the same time, there's still going to be nerves whether you're moving 15 minutes down the road or 300 miles away. So I want to remind you that my example is only one of many, and yours may have similar aspects, and it might have totally different aspects. But this is how I've had to take leaps of faith and hope that my comfort zone, like the image on your bulletin, would expand. But back to the verse of Luke 10, 25 through 37. The legal expert asks about eternal life and then says that, who is my neighbor, to test Jesus. And I think of that as, if you're testing Jesus, aren't you also testing God in a way? I mean, they always say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one. Well, I'm living proof that you can test God and say you're going to do something, and then all of a sudden, you are back to where you thought. At the annual conference in 2015, at the celebration of life and ministry, they have a time when those who think they would like to come up to ministry, they get a chance to come forward. Well, I went forward, and I'll tell you right now, there's about 10 to 15 minutes of time that I don't remember from that, which sounds insane, but it was so emotional that all I remember was I walked up, and then I was talking to Pastor Theta not long after. But that begs the question, was I giving my time to serve, whether it was in the confirmation realm or in the I want to help people realm? In the scripture, it says that the Good Samaritan gave 2 days of his wages, or translates roughly to that in my Bible. Okay, I'm not going to let you into my car if you're sitting on the side of the road without asking at least, what's your name, where are you from, that sort of thing. So I don't go out of my comfort zone when I'm driving, you know, and see the people on the side of the road, you know, with the signs. It's not me. But the Good Samaritan was demonstrating mercy. And I think of that as, well, he was showing compassion to that person who was sitting on that side of the road. I know I don't do that, but I've learned ways of what that I can help others. And then God says, or Jesus says, go and do likewise. Well, that can be out of a lot of our comfort zones. Like I said, I'm not going to let somebody into my car without asking questions. I probably wouldn't be like, hey, come on, get in my car, and I'll take you to the inn or the hotel. So how can we impact others? Impacting others can mean that we go on a mission trip to another state. We can go on a mission trip to a reservation, or we can go to a food pantry in the area. We can give to the food pantry. There are different ways that you can go about giving and impacting others. One way that Pastor Theta or Pastor Wade from the Brookings Church at the time had said was to have gift cards in like a Ziploc bag to McDonald's, Burger King, a fast food restaurant that are pretty much all over. It gives them the opportunity that if they travel, they can still get food. Now, while that seems so easy and why don't I just do that anyways? But that means that I have to talk to them. And sometimes talking can be the most difficult. thing to do when you don't know somebody. But there's also giving time. In the video, Mary had said, "Do you want $50? Do you want $100? Don't cash this until next week." Well, Jesus, or the man, wasn't asking for a monetary gift. He was asking for a time commitment. Volunteering doesn't always mean, here's some money, or here's 5 minutes of my time. And while it can, it means just being present. One way that I was able to see this was at annual conference 2019 this year. An eighth grader came up to me, or I knew him as an eighth grader. He was in the confirmation class that I was a sponsor to. He goes, "You don't remember me, do you?" "I remember your face. Does that count?" "I mean, I guess. At least you recognize me a little bit, right?" He's now on CCYM, which was like, oh my gosh, good for you. I later learned that he applied for CCYM, or Conference Council on Youth Ministry, for this coming year. And he's really hopeful that he gets on. Now, I could go back and see what the mission trip looked like too, but sometimes you don't need to know what came from what you had given or the time you spent. Sometimes it's just better knowing what you didn't. So now I encourage you to go and get out of your comfort zone at least once this week. And if you don't get out of your comfort zone during the week, maybe it's something as simple as you come to a different worship service next week, or you switch spots on Pastor Scott. Getting out of your comfort zone doesn't have to mean, oh, I volunteered. It could be as simple as, I moved spots and met a couple new people in our church. So I do invite you to move. And even if you do volunteer during the week, it's always funny to hear Pastor Scott, "Oh, they moved this past week, and it just threw me off." He will tell me, "This person moved, and it was just